Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
The first remembrance this week is for Khloe Kardashian, whose Halloween costume as a Bratz doll showed her clearly making her skin several tones darker than natural. This racial appropriation by a light-skinned person pretending to be black or mixed race, called blackfishing, is just a variation on blackface practiced in a culture where being mixed has now become a desirable characteristic or a mark of beauty. As we all know, tampering with your natural skin color is racist, no matter which direction you do it. If you make your skin lighter, you are reinforcing the long-standing norm that blackness is bad, and if you make your skin darker, you are illegitimately trying to hide your membership in the historical white oppressor class by participating in the now-vogue mixed race category. Now, some heretics might argue that allowing people to pretend to be other colors in a favorable or desirable way might actually erode the barriers between people based on skin tone. These fools might even say that letting you pick your darkness and change it as you like could lead people to stop judging others by skin tone at all, since it wouldn't even be seen as an immutable characteristic anymore. If we allow people to change their skin tone, they say, we might stop caring so much about skin tone. Of course, the error here is believing that skin tone doesn't matter. Even though we must not judge people by their skin, unless they're white, we know that skin color is the single most important thing about a person and must never change. Umber people must be distinguishable from sepia people, and from cocoa people, and from chocolate people, and from tawny people, and from russet people, and from arabesque people, and from beige people, and from tan people, and from ivory people, and so forth. If we don't separate everyone by skin tone, how else can we all be united as one people? But once again, we see a lesson to be learned here about Halloween costumes in general, for while we can obviously see the evil of Khloe Kardashian blackfishing like this, we have for too long overlooked all the other racial appropriations in common costumery. Dressing up as the devil or redfishing must stop. Dressing up as a ghost or whitefishing must stop. Dressing up as Chucky or gingerfishing must stop. Pretending to be a wizard by putting on a white wig or silverfishing must stop. In fact, wearing wigs in general or hairfishing has got to go. People should no longer pretend to be witches or ogres or Martians because of the unacceptable green fishing. And if we're being honest, pretending to be a cat is just whisker fishing, not to mention species appropriation. And obviously no one should be dressed up as Barbie or Ken, since platinum fishing and bronze fishing are clearly forbidden. So let us stop all of this skin treason and simply stay our natural colors in the holy unity of total division forever and ever. Amen. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, bird names that are based on the people who discovered them. Because some bird species have been named for canceled persons, such as McCown's longspur, which was named for Confederate General John McCown, but which is now called the thick-billed longspur, the American Ornithological Society this week decided that the best solution is to make sure no birds are named for any people at all. Instead of changing one bird name at a time when actual offenses are discovered, they decided it's better to make a clean sweep and eliminate all human names out of the paralyzing fear that a bird namesake who is deemed virtuous today will be discovered to be a horrible monster by future generations. Besides, this will also serve to free these birds from the speciesist oppression foisted upon them by the arrogance of humans who impose their own names upon the birds they claim to have discovered. Thus, Anna's hummingbird, Gamble's quail, Buick's wren, Bullock's oriole, and more than 70 other species must be given new names. And even though some of these might seem like important people to honor, such as Wilson's snipe and Wilson's warbler for the founder of modern ornithology, no, instead we should go with the yellow warbler or the high-flying snipe. But since we're fixing problematic bird names, let's not overlook how words have changed over the years, and maybe it's time to eliminate some of the sexist or just inappropriately named birds. Blue-footed booby, red-footed booby, the great tit, the fluffy-backed tit babbler. I mean, can we really say we're making a world that's safe for women when strange men wander around the forest with binoculars, eagerly hoping to catch sight of tits and boobies? I mean, seriously, the American bush tit? Are you kidding me? And while we're at it, perhaps we should do away with the seemingly endless array of phallocentric bird names. The Andean cock of the rock, the red-billed oxpecker, the American woodcock, the Dick Sissel, the Himalayan snowcock, the Eurasian nutcracker, and the Indian peacock, clearly a double offender. And don't even get me started on birds like the great spotted woodpecker. Really, men? Woodpecker? I mean, try to imagine if we perused the great tome of bird names and discovered the Chilean green cooter or the North American spotted blue vajayjay. You'd never, ever let those vulgar names persist. And so a clean sweep is what we need. Let us rename all the birds in a way that is not tainted by any human affiliation and does not refer to reproductive organ slang. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to celebrate the wonderful work being done by the College Board's Advanced Placement Testing Division, as shown by a recent question on the practice test for AP Human Geography, because obviously there are geographic systems other than human ones. The question at hand showed a chart in which the birth rate per 1,000 population and death rate per 1,000 population in five countries was shown, with France being the lowest per capita birth rate and Nigeria being the highest. The question then asked, which country showed the highest level of female empowerment? Well, obviously the correct answer is France, because the ideal of female empowerment is achieved when the lowest possible number of women are becoming pregnant and having babies. This is because, as third-rail feminism teaches us, the entire scheme of reproduction, marriage, and maternity was created by the patriarchy to subjugate women in their barbaric and misogynist fantasy of keeping them barefoot, illiterate, subservient, and impregnated. Yes, countries with more traditional cultures like Nigeria and Egypt, which encourage women to do the one thing in their power that makes them fundamentally different from men and which men cannot do, yes, those are the oppressive ones. And countries with more evolved cultures like France and the campus of UC Berkeley have realized that the best way to fully empower women is to make sure they never do anything uniquely feminine. Yes, the true dream of all enlightened women is to be no different from men, which is why motherhood is such an anti-feminist practice. Only when women can be completely liberated from the biological consequences of having been born as women can they really manifest and fulfill their womanhood. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
This week, please keep the Gerstners in your mantras. On Tuesday, Pat and Parker were engaged in a sublime act of co-parenting when they both left work to take little Skylar to the pediatrician. As you all know, Skylar was not assigned a gender at birth and has yet to decide for themselves what identity they are, a truly noble condition at the age of 16. What Pat and Parker did not realize was that the intake form Skylar was filling out for itself included a section on gender but had only two boxes, one for male and one for female. Mistakenly thinking this pediatrician had been properly vetted, the Gerstners were horrified by this binary cisgender act of violence against other and everywhere, and they rushed Skylar to the Gender Identity Trauma Center on Fifth Avenue. Even though it's been a harrowing 3 days, they think Skylar's going to recover, but please continue to perform your Tibetan throat singing on their behalf until a full recovery is made. Refreshments this week are from Hickory Chicory Sock, the CBD-infused alternative to coffee dispensary that exclusively filters and flavors its brews with used Guatemalan footwear from the feet of asylum-seeking refugees. They are on site today with their most popular mix, 80-20 cotton polyester blend with hints of Rio Grande and a certified 3 Tochis rating. It's my favorite. You can really taste the oppression.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.